Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. In our previous two broadcasts, we have searched the scriptures and found that God has given to us 9 ingredients to an acceptable prayer. Indeed, some would think, as evidenced by their actions, that there are no ingredients that God has prescribed for prayer, that we can pray in any way that we deem to be appropriate. But in Luke the 11th chapter in verse 1, Jesus said, "And it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" Therein we find that prayer takes instruction, that we are not born with the ability to pray acceptably to God. In fact, in 1 John 5 and verse 14, the Bible reads, "And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." The negative of that positive proposition would be that if we don't ask according to the will of God, that certainly he does not hear us. We listed and we talked in detail about those 9 ingredients of an acceptable prayer. First of all, we showed that prayer is not to be done for show. The proof text of that is Matthew the 6th chapter, verse 5 and verse 6. Secondly, we saw that the Bible teaches that prayer is not to contain vain repetitions. It's to be to the point. That's not to say that we cannot repeat in prayer, but we cannot do so in a manner that is vain. The proof text is Matthew 6 and verse 7. There Jesus said, "And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition." Meaningless and vain, the same idea about what we are not to use in prayer. Third, we saw from Matthew the 6th chapter and verse 9 that we are to pray to the Father. Jesus said, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who art in heaven." Certainly, we can understand why our prayer would be addressed to Jehovah God. Fourth, we showed that we must pray through Christ. That's to God and through Christ. Jesus said in John 14, verse 13 and 14, "And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Well, now that's 4 necessary ingredients to prayer. Fifth, we saw that the Bible teaches us that we must believe that the prayer that we are praying will be answered. Jesus said in Mark 11 and verse 24, "Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you." Hebrews 4 and verse 16 augments that passage, where the Bible reads, "Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace." Next, number 6, we saw that the Bible teaches that in order to pray acceptably, we must have a forgiving heart. Jesus said in Mark 11 and verse 25, And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your transgressions." Therefore, we learn that we cannot pray with animosity in our heart toward others, with a feeling of vengeance toward others, that we must have a forgiving heart. The 7th ingredient in an acceptable prayer is that we must be worshipers of God to entertain the avenue of prayer. The Apostle John wrote in John 9 and verse 31, "We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does His will, He hears him." We noted that that certainly does not mean that a person has to be perfect in order to pray. Romans 3 and verse 23 say, "All sin and fall short of the glory of God." We read in 1 John 1 and verse 10 that if you say that you haven't sinned, that you're a liar. So we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about going to God as those who follow His word, that those that are trying to live acceptably to the Lord, those who abide in the Lord. In John 15 and verse 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done." The eighth ingredient of an acceptable prayer is that we must pray with the understanding. The proof text for that requirement is found in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. What is the outcome then? Paul writes, "I shall pray with the Spirit, and I shall pray with the mind also." That says that we should understand what we're praying, that praying shouldn't be just the memorization and spewing forth of certain phrases, but that it should come from the thinking process of man. That's what we should have as a basis for our prayer. Well, that's eight of the nine ingredients for an acceptable prayer that we have studied together. And I'm just wondering, do you remember what the ninth one is? It would be interesting to me sometime to take a poll to see if the audience in a radio program like this remembers the things that we studied together. Well, number nine was that we must pray frequently and not be discouraged. Jesus said in Luke 21 and verse 36, "But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all those things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of God." In Luke, the 18th chapter and verse 1, Luke wrote, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart." You know, when we pray and we understand that God hears our prayers, sometimes we put the answering of that prayer in our minds to be on our timetable, to be on our schedule. We also, I think, when we pray, expect that we're the ones that determine what the answer to our prayer should be. No is sometimes an answer. That's certainly the answer that the Apostle Paul got when he asked that the thorn that was in his side be removed. He got the answer, no. The reason why we can endure that kind of disappointment and turn it into a positive is we believe that God has our best interests in heart. God knows more than we do. God listens to our prayers and does for us those things that He knows is right. Well, now I want to study with you today for a little while some examples of things that we read in the Bible that we can pray for. Now, unlike the ingredients, the number of examples that we'll study together is not inclusive. There's certainly more examples of successful prayer in the Bible than what we'll use as illustrations on this radio show. But these things we can identify and we can know that a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, hearing from us if we have the right kind of heart and use the necessary ingredients that we've studied, that He will respond to our prayers in ways that He responded in the past. First of all, we can pray for physical blessings. In Matthew, the 14th chapter and verse 19, there we have an example of someone praying for food. "And ordering the multitudes to recline on the grass, He took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, He blessed the food." That's Jesus praying His thanksgiving for the food that He was about to distribute to those that had come to hear Him speak. In Romans, the 14th chapter, and verse 6, the Apostle Paul wrote, "He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not, for the Lord does not eat, and gives thanks to God." Giving thanks for our food. Certainly that's something that we see done oftentimes by those who are Christians. We have so many things to be thankful for in the physical realm, for our clothes and for our food, for cars, for buildings that are comfortable to meet and to worship in, for our homes and for our medical care. We have thankful feelings for the peace that we have surrounding us in our society, for the schools we have and the teachers therein, for electricity, for telephones, and for inside plumbing. Now you know that I'm dating myself, don't you? But I would tell you that we have more to be thankful for than we can even count. We sang a song in our worship service last Sunday that said, is entitled, "Count Your Blessings." Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Well, where do all of those blessings come from? Is that because we're some kind of a super person that deserves all of the things that we enjoy? No, the answer to that is James 1 and verse 17. All good things come from above. So we should give thanks for our physical blessings. I challenge you, the next time you're talking to God and you're in a place where you can concentrate totally on that prayer, try to name the physical blessings that you have in this life. Identify them. Tell God thank you for allowing you to use those blessings for a little while, and pray to Him that you be a good steward of those things that He's entrusted into your care. Well, a second thing that we find in the Bible that we can pray for is wisdom. In James 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Wisdom has an interesting definition. We read in Webster that wisdom is understanding what is true, understanding what is right or lasting, common sense, good judgment, learning, sensible, prudent, judicious. Thoreau said, "It is a characteristic of wisdom not to do desperate things." Who is it among us that hasn't at times felt a lack of wisdom and a great need to have wisdom when facing circumstances and decisions that we must make in life? Wisdom doesn't come through a study of philosophy. That's man's way. Wisdom doesn't come through some kind of transcendental meditation. That's man's way. Wisdom doesn't come through a consultation with the wise, even though certainly listening to those that are wise will help us to make good decision. The ability to make good decisions, according to Solomon, comes from wisdom. Helps us raise a family. Helps us be a good mate. Helps us when we're selecting a mate. It helps us when we're selecting a career field. It helps us when we're selecting the friends that we associate with and grow to love. Wisdom is needed in understanding and applying the scriptures that we study regularly. What a benefit it is to our study if we'll just stop before we begin the study and have a prayer and ask God to give us wisdom to understand the things that He would have us to know, strength to apply them to our life, courage to apply them not because of convenience, but because of conviction. Wisdom is needed when we try to grow spiritually. Wisdom is needed when we try to live through the trials of life. And it makes soul living more possible, having that wisdom that God promises us as children of His. Well, a third thing that we find in the Bible when we're studying about acceptable prayer is that we can pray for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 13, "But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" In Luke 11 and verse 4, in that passage that we oftentimes call the Lord's Prayer, we see included the words, "And forgive us our sins." Peter said this to Simon in Acts 8 and verse 22, "Therefore repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible the intention of your heart may be forgiven you." How could this be if you had to be perfect in order to be heard? Perhaps the most significant blessing that a Christian has is to be able to pray for the forgiveness of sins. That forgiveness is so immediate and so final. God remembers no more against us those things for which we pray in an acceptable way for forgiveness. Of course, let me say right now that we're talking about the advantages that a Christian has in prayer. Until one establishes the relationship with God that brings him or her into that covenant relationship with Christ, one cannot enjoy the benefits that accrue to Christians. Never be as pure as coming up out of the water of baptism. I've heard that said, haven't you? Someone will say that you'll never see anybody that pure again. But that's not true. Every single time that a Christian goes with the right heart, in the right way, to God and asks for forgiveness of sins, that Christian is just as pure as when he comes up from the watery grave of baptism. A prayer before going to sleep at night, a prayer in the right way, asking for forgiveness of sins, ensures that should death occur before we wake, we can be saved. Understanding that, how in the world could we ever go to sleep without praying to God for His protection, thanking Him for His love, remembering His promises? Well, a fourth thing that we find in the Bible that one can pray for is for the sick. I ask if you would to take your Bible now and turn with me to the book of James. I'd like to read in the book of James, chapter 5, beginning in verse 13 and going through verse 16. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Praying for the sick. The 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians shows us that miracles ended with the advent of the completion of the revelation of God into what we call the Bible. You cannot find today those who pray over the sick and miraculously God heals them. That does not happen today. One might become so emotionally involved that he believes that it happens, but the Scriptures do not support such a belief. That being said, God still has His hand in the affairs of men, and God still promises to affect those who need of healing from a physical standpoint. We pray for the sick. And though we don't always understand the providence of God and how it works, and though we don't always understand how prayers for some seem to be not answered and prayers for others seem to be answered in the way that we want them, we believe with all of our heart that the most effective means of combating sickness and illness is prayer. Not everybody is going to be healed, but some will be healed by the mighty hand of God's power. God's power is unlimited. I have personally seen medical doctors of high ranking shake their head and say, "I don't understand how such an improvement could have happened." But a Christian does. A Christian that prays to God understands through faith that prayer for the sick is authorized and is just as powerful and just as meaningful and as it was at any time during the history of mankind. Prayer for the sick isn't done, it seems to me, as much now as it used to be. And that seems to indicate to me that there's a lack of faith. We see that exhibited in a lot of areas of life nowadays, a lack of faith, a gravitation toward the physical rather than the spiritual. Man looking to himself for answers to those things that compel man to ask. But I would tell you, the answer is in Jesus Christ. Well, a fifth thing that we find in the scriptures that we can pray for is praying for protection during times of danger, and for protection from things that we fear. I call your attention to a passage in Luke, the 22nd chapter. Turn, if you would, if you have your Bible handy, to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and look with me beginning in verse 41. "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and began to pray." Well, now you know the circumstances, don't you, surrounding this text. This is Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to God at the very doorstep of the crucifixion, when he was so concerned and so dismayed by the events that were taking place. He withdrew from his three closest friends, from Peter, from Andrew, from John. He withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and began to pray. And here's what he said: "Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Jesus was in fervent prayer. He was weak because he needed strengthening. The advance of the crucifixion about to occur, and Jesus needed help. I know of times in my life when I have fell to my knees and prayed fervently for those who might be facing surgery that the doctors say has very little chance of success, praying fervently for those who have been in car accidents that they recover from the terrible wounds that they have sustained. I know those that have prayed fervently because of conditions in the world, in the war. I remember my folks praying so fervently during the Second World War, praying that the boys from our country would be safe, be protected, be allowed to come home. Perhaps in my recent memory, the most fervent prayers that I've seen surrounded the events of 9/11, where we as a nation were under attack and we were fearful and we were sorry for the great losses of those in New York City that lost their life because of those terrible things that had happened. Prayer was certainly a more of a part of many of our lives than it is routinely. We can pray for things that present to us danger. We can pray for those things that present to us fear. Regardless of whether the dangers are real and whether the fears are real, we can go to God and we can ask for His help. The one who created all things will answer our prayers, and we can feel confident that we will be protected through those difficult times. Well, that's all of the time that we have today, and as you can see, there are many places in the Bible that teaches us where and what we can pray about. Things that God heard His people pray for before and reacted to positively. I challenge you to study your Bible. See in there the things that have been prayed for and allow it to spur you on, to motivate you to a better prayer life. Well, that's all of the time that we have for today. Pray that we will have an opportunity this week to let a bright light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to come and visit with us at our services at the Monte Vista Church of Christ, 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.